At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Patrick O'Donnell. His new book is The Indispensables, the story of the Marbleheaders, Marblehead, Massachusetts. The diverse soldier mariners who shaped the country, formed the Navy, and rode Washington across the Delaware. Patrick is an historian of the 21st century. And one of the wonderful discoveries in this book is how much the story of the Marbleheaders are still with us, through plaques, through houses, through memories, through statues. Patrick, take us to Marblehead today. Is there recognition of the sacrifice of the town? I believe you report at the end there were something more than 350 widows when the war ended. I mentioned John Glover, for example, who marched back to Marblehead in late 76. He is again brought back by Washington, who entreated him to come back to fight for Washington. He made him a general. And Glover goes on to fight with Gates at Saratoga. Glover stays in the war all the way to 1782. The Marbleheaders were the backbone of many of these successes. But today, what is remembered? Let's start with John Glover. What is in Marblehead for people to find, Patrick?
John Glover's house. John, there's not really much in plain sight. You have to sort of dig through it a little bit, but. For instance, there is a plaque on John Glover's home, which still exists. Jeremiah Lee's house, who is a mansion, it still exists, and it's part of the Marblehead Museum, which I highly recommend everybody visit. It's extraordinary. And there's even the Three Cods Tavern still exists, where Samuel Trevitt, the hero of Bunker Hill, fought off British soldiers with a broomstick in a sword fight. There's stuff there. There's something called Old Burial Hill where many of these men are buried, but their story was largely an untold one. You have to like look around to find it, but the remains of the regiment are there through their homes and their headstones.
You visited the graveyard. Who's buried there that you can tell us?
John Glover and many of the other men, like the captain, another great captain, Captain Mugford, who I wrote about recently in an article. He captures a very important prize ship as well, filled with powder, literally nearly 50,000 pounds worth of, pounds sterling of worth of powder that could supply the army for months. Many of the notables are buried in that cemetery. The cemeteries around the town are filled with these men. And, as you mentioned, tragically, nearly 400 widows as a result of the Revolutionary War. That was a tragedy of it, that many of them would be lost at sea and their bodies would never be recovered because of the naval fighting, et cetera.
The Glover family suffered extremely. Glover lost his wife, yes, Hannah, but he also lost his son and he lost his son-in-law. And did he lose his fortune?
John, for the most part, many of these men went bankrupt. I mean, as the, Marblehead was extremely prosperous prior to the American Revolutionary War. And then the war devastates the town. It not only many of their sons and husbands and fathers are killed, but it just the industry, the fishing is also in a decline. I mean, it really is hit very hard and devastated after the war.
And statues. Are there statues of these heroes?
Is very, very few. There's a statue of one of the characters in the book is a private. His name is John Russell. And if you go to Trenton, there is a statue with of the Trenton. It's a victory memorial, and John Russell is one of the statues of one of the people there, and he's got an oar in his hand to symbolize the crossing. There's also a statue of Glover in Boston, but for the most part, very little has been written about the Marbleheaders and their story until the Indispensables.
Elbridge Gerry goes on to become Massachusetts governor, and that is the man for whom we name gerrymandering, but it is disdainful to mention gerrymandering here in the 21st century. I learned from Patrick that at the time it was not. It was understood as practical-minded. What about the success of the town today? Is it still a fishing town, Patrick, or has it become a suburb of Boston?
It's just a beautiful town that it's one of the most beautiful towns on the East Coast, because so many of these historic buildings remain, and it's just a wonderful place to visit. And they still have, for instance, they have a Memorial Day parade. They really, revel in, I wouldn't say revel, but they really bring on out of American spirit there. It's a tremendous place to live.
And Washington, and you have at the close of your book a tribute by Henry Knox. First of all, let's establish again who Henry Knox was and what were his memories of the Marbleheaders. He went on to become a member of Washington's cabinet.
Henry Knox is one of my favorite characters. He's a rotund kind of guy that's got a deep voice, but he initially starts out in a street gang and able to somehow cobble enough money together to create a bookstore. And his bookstore is his way of learning things. And he becomes an expert on artillery. And Knox is the guy that brings back the guns from Fort Ticonderoga, and they eventually install them on Dorchester Heights. But Knox is also, one of Washington's top battle captains, if you will. And Knox is there for the crossing, and he paints a really incredible picture of how all was nearly lost.
It's a wonderful quote, if I can read from your book, Patrick, because you end the book with this. Knox addressing the Massachusetts legislature. "I wish the members of this body knew the people of Marblehead as well as I do. I could wish that they had stood on the banks of the Delaware River in 1776 in that bitter night when the commander-in-chief had drawn up his little army to cross it and had seen the powerful current bearing onward the floating masses of ice which threatened destruction to whomever should venture upon its bosom. I wish that when this occurrence threatened to defeat the enterprise, they could have heard that distinguished warrior demand, 'Who will lead us on?' and seen the men of Marblehead, and Marblehead alone, stand forward to lead the army along the perilous path to unfading glories and honors in the achievements of Trenton." Patrick, it's a pleasure to have learned all of this. Do you have an explanation why it took me into my eighth decade to learn about the men of Marblehead? Does it make sense to you, Patrick?
No, it's like so many stories, John, though. There's so much history in plain sight in many cases. But we have an incredible history that I think that's what the Indispensables is about. It's about, sort of reclaiming or rediscovering some of this incredible history that in our origin story, John, which is our most precious story.
Right.
That is revealed in the Indispensables.
The Indispensables, the diverse soldier mariners, Marblehead, who shaped the country, formed the Navy, and rode Washington across the Delaware. Also rode Washington, saved everything across the East River. Patrick O'Donnell is the author. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.